السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. I commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Him, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, first and foremost, I remind myself, I enjoin upon myself, and then all of you all present here, to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to bring in the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our lives during every single second of our lives. If we wish to attain victory, if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. I would like to start off by mentioning a beautiful narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that has been recorded in the book of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. Now, this is a hadith, this is a narration that has been categorized by the scholars of a hadith as musalsal bil awwaliyya. It's an Arabic term, musalsal bil awwaliyya. And if you look at this particular categorization, the hadith that are known as musalsal, the word musalsal, which is translated as transmission, it is a category or a classification of certain hadith that contain an extra element of information in regards to how the hadith was transmitted from one link to the other, from one individual to the other. Now, this particular hadith is categorized as musalsal bil awwaliyya. In the sense, this is a hadith, or the hadith that a student of hadith first heard from his sheikh, from his teacher. And the teacher hears it first from his teacher, and so on and so forth until the very beginning of the narration. So it is the hadith that is generally taught first to a student of hadith. Now, one might wonder, what hadith is this and why is it so special that it is the first hadith to be taught to a student of hadith, and he in turn teaches it to his student as the first hadith, and so on and so forth. The hadith is where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, الرَّاحِمُونَ يَرْحَمُهُمُ الرَّحْمَنِ اِرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. الرَّاحِمُونَ, the ones who show mercy, the ones who are compassionate, the ones who show empathy, they are the ones, يَرْحَمُهُمُ الرَّحْمَنِ, the one who is the most merciful, they are the ones whom the one who is the most merciful will show mercy unto. Irhamu man fil ard, show mercy unto those who are on this earth. It's a command unto us. Show mercy to those around you. Show mercy to the creatures of God. Yarhamukum man fis sama, the ones who are in the heavens will show mercy unto you. Who are the ones in the heavens? Allah and His angels. Allah and His angels. You show mercy unto others. You show mercy unto the creatures of God. You show mercy to humanity. You show mercy to the animals. You show mercy to the environment around you. And the ones in the heavens are going to show mercy unto you. And my dear brothers in Islam, we see this in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When talking about empathy, he was a true embodiment of empathy. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was sent as a mercy unto mankind, unto jinkind, unto this world. Now, at the end of the day, he is our role model. We are following him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is important that we rekindle this sense of humanity within us. Humanity. See, we have adopted religiosity and compromised in regards to humanity. We seem religious, we look religious, but deep down, you and I, if we were to touch our hearts, I think we can relate to this. Our hearts have hardened. We don't feel this kindness towards others. We can't see the sufferings of others, or in a way, we have become immune to the sufferings of others. Look at our deen, look at the ahadith. Look at the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have a hadith with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi." None of you have truly brought in iman. Subhanallah, you have not brought in iman. you basically don't have iman until you love for your brother or your sister what you love for yourself. Allahu Akbar. What you love for yourself, you love for your brother and your sister. If you wish to sit comfortably, if you wish to come early to the masjid and get a good spot, then that's the same that you would wish for your brother, your sister, subhanAllah. If you wish to eat well and go to sleep early, you know, comfortably, if you wish to have access to water, that is the same that you would wish to your brothers, you would wish for your brothers and your sisters. And today some of us, again, under the garb of quote-unquote religiosity, we think that, you know what, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. This particular ayah, we have in a way misunderstood it. We think that, you know what, it's just for us Muslims. We are brothers and sisters. SubhanAllah, we live in a country where we are a minority. And we tend to think, you know what, they are not our brothers and sisters. So what if they suffer? So what if they don't have access to water? Let's only focus on the Muslims. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. The ayah there, Allah says that the believers are brothers. Some of, like I said, some people have understood the innama to be a restriction. No, it is to highlight that yes, by default, mu'minun, we are brothers. But with people of other faiths, they are our brethren as well. How so? They are our brethren in humanity. They are our brethren in terms of this country. We are Sri Lankans at large. And you might be wondering where I'm coming with this. Look at the Quran again. Allah says in regards to the people of Aad, and the people of Aad had not believed in Allah. They had not believed in Allah. And that's why a prophet was sent unto them. So they were basically disbelievers. And Allah says in the Quran, وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا. We sent to Aad their brother Hud. So how did he become their brother now? وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودْ. And to ثَمُودْ, we sent أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. We sent to ثَمُودْ their brother صَالِح. Now صَالِح عليه الصلاة والسلام was obviously a believer in Allah. Just as how Hud عليه الصلاة والسلام was a believer in Allah. But he was being sent to disbelievers. He was being sent to people who had drifted away. And yet, the relationship that was established, your brother. SubhanAllah. We are involved in projects. For example, we have initiated a project called the Clean Water Project. We travel to the outskirts of the country, rural villages, and subhanAllah, you won't believe it. Those of us who are living here in Colombo, we are in almost a kind of a bubble. In 2019, there are still people out there in our rural villages that don't have access to water. Their levels of sanitation are extremely, extremely poor. Children are walking, women are walking for kilometers to get water, to get access to water, subhanAllah. So you and I, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility in terms of reviving the spirit of humanity to help others. There are enough and more narrations from the Prophet ﷺ that encourage this. For example, the Prophet ﷺ, he says, the most beloved of deeds unto Allah is to make another believer happy, is to relieve that individual of his distress, to relieve that individual of perhaps debts that he is drowning in, to relieve his hardship. There are other hadith that tell us that if you relieve the hardship of another individual, Allah will relieve your hardship. If you conceal his faults, Allah will conceal your faults. There's a hadith that has been recorded in the book of Imam Hakim in his Mustadrak, that the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said along the lines of these words, for you to set out, for you to step out to help your brother, to fulfill the needs of your brother, is better than a month's worship in the masjid, a month's i'tikaf in the masjid, subhanAllah. Now yes, you may be able to debate the authenticity of the hadith, but at the most it's da'if, and you should note that da'if, weak ahadith can be used for fada'il, for virtue. For virtue. Going out, stepping out with the right intention to help your brother, your sister, to help them. You're being rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a colossal way. And coming back to the main hadith, you show mercy. Do this with no ulterior motive. So much to the extent that our scholars tell us that when giving out sadaqah, when helping out another individual, there are two elements that need to come into play basically. One is ikhlas, one is sincerity, and then the other is humanity, compassion, empathy. Now, most of us, or some of us, when we give out sadaqah, we give it void of empathy, void of all of these emotions. We give it, you know what, I'm giving this so that I be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. A very cut and right, very cold kind of a relationship. And on the other end, the flip side, you have people who give just for the sake of humanity. You know what, I'm doing it to help people. I'm doing this, you know, for philanthropy. I'm doing it to, you know, get people water, etc., feed people. There's no element of doing it for the sake of Allah. The balance is to do it for the sake of Allah whilst having compassion, whilst having kindness towards the people who are suffering, who are less fortunate. Hadith is in the book of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, if I'm not mistaken. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with the Sahaba, and suddenly a tribe of Bedouins approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He looks at them and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was moved at the sight of these people, because they were basically, you know, like bags of bones. Their stomachs were sticking to their, you know, almost as if it was stuck to their spines, and they were so haggard looking. The Prophet immediately had Bilal radiallahu anhu call out the adhan, establish the salah, and right after the salah, the Prophet crowd fundraised to feed them. Subhanallah. He immediately, then and there, crowd fundraised, action item. Crowd fundraised to feed that tribe. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such a merciful individual. Once he goes into the compound of an individual, and a camel, the minute the camel sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the camel starts to weep and cry. The Prophet goes and starts to console and comfort the camel. And the camel is almost whispering in the ear of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, weeping. Right after that, the Prophet calls out saying, who is the owner of this animal? A young man comes forward. He says, fear Allah in regards to this animal. This animal has just complained that you are not feeding it properly and that you are overburdening it. Fear Allah in regards to the rights of this animal. Subhanallah. Today, think about us. Do we think about animals? Do you think about the dogs on the street? Do you think about the cats on the street? We think a dog, it needs to be stoned. Islam has never asked us to stone a dog. Ya Allah. Skewed understandings. And it's all because of this sense of selfishness that is creeping in. If you want to secure the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are all beggars in that regard, we need the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. We are constant sinners. We are perpetual sinners. Do we not need the mercy of Allah? If you need the mercy of Allah, then you need to show mercy. You need to show mercy. How can you be hard-hearted? How can you be selfish and expect that Allah forgives you? Hadith is again in Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, indeed, I know of the last man to enter Jannah and the last man to exit from Jahannam. Allahu Akbar. Last man to enter Jannah, last man to exit from Jahannam. The last individual. He will now stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will be announced, Allah will say, I'ridu, present his sins. Now his sins will be presented. His vice, his evil deeds will be presented. And it will be said, forgive him, or in the sense, excuse him of his major sins. Major sins, kaba'ir, excuse him. Just list the minor mistakes, the minor sins. Now this man is humbly standing. He can't deny the mistakes. It's all been recorded fi kitabim mubin, in a clear book, clear register. There is no denying any of it. So he can't deny anything. He's standing and the mistakes are being announced. Okay? But deep inside, you know what? He is in a way relieved. He's sighing this sigh of relief. Alhamdulillah, you know what? My major sins were not presented. If they were presented, that's it. I'm going back to Jahannam. And after the sins are presented, the minor sins, Allah will announce, let those minor sins be all transformed into good deeds. Allahu Akbar. Now this man who was quiet earlier,
sighs of relief. My minor sins were mentioned, major were not mentioned. Let me just remain quiet about it. Now when the minor sins were changed into good deeds, he blurts out, but Ya Allah, you know what? There are some other sins that were not mentioned. Maybe they too can be mentioned and transformed into good deeds. He wants to try and mention the mistakes that were not mentioned at that point. And when narrated the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ smiles. The narrator of the hadith says, he smiles until his back teeth were visible. Highlighting the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith talks about this same individual, again in Muslim. This man crawls out of Jahannam, the last man to exit from Jahannam. And it will be said finally to this man, go to Jannah, go and find your place in paradise. This man will go to Jannah, and it will seem as if Jannah is full. He will come back and say, Ya Allah, but Jannah is full. It will be said, no, go and find your place in Jannah. Now he will go a second time, only to find that Jannah seems to be full. He'll come back and he say, Ya Allah, but Jannah is full. It'll be said a third time, go, find your place in Jannah. For you is a Jannah that is equivalent to this world and 10 times it. This man will be stupefied. He'll look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flabbergasted. And he'll say, Ya Allah, you being the King of all kings, are you making fun of me, Ya Allah? Are you mocking me, Ya Allah? And at this point too, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he smiles, because obviously Allah is not mocking or making fun of this man. In all actuality, he is going to be given such a grand and beautiful Jannah. The last person to enter Jannah. Now why am I mentioning all of these ahadith? To highlight the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah who is much more, many, many more times more merciful than our own mothers. A pious person of the past, he says, if I was given the choice between choosing between my mother and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to who should judge me on the day of Qiyamah, what do you think his answer must have been? You and I would jump to choose our mother. Why? Because we know, oh mom, just go hug her and you know everything is forgiven. You can be a criminal to the entire world, but your mother will embrace you. Your mother will hug you. This pious individual says, I will choose Allah over my mother. Because there are enough and more ahadith that tell me Allah is many, 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 many more times more merciful than my own mother. And if I have so much of confidence in my mother's mercy, then I have to have many more times confidence in Allah's mercy. So this is Allah's mercy. To be able to secure that mercy, and likewise, you have to understand that the mercy of Allah should not be taken for granted. Allah says in the Quran, نَبِّ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell my slaves that inform them that I am the most forgiving, the most merciful. And right after that, the very next ayah, وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ And also inform them that my torment, my punishment is severe. It is painful, it is severe. So we should not take the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granted. But the fact is that there are so many ways to win the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To win the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. By doing good deeds, by helping others, by striving, by being kind, by being compassionate, by being merciful. You automatically win the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're going to be blessed in this world. You're going to be blessed in the hereafter. You're going to be victorious and successful. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, let us strive to rekindle, like I said, the spirit of humanity. We have a concern for others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes us as one body. If one finger aches, just imagine you jam your finger at the door and the finger is aching. You think what, you know, you're going to be like, oh, so what? The little finger, you know what? Who cares about it? No, the entire body will ache in response. Your reflex action, you know, you basically want to take your finger away, you start to throb with the pain, and you might even develop, you know, I don't know, maybe even a fever if it's a really bad gash wound, you know? So the thing is, the whole body is aching in response. Then what about when we see our brothers and sisters suffering? Why are we not aching in response? Why are we not trying to do whatever we can to alleviate their sufferings, to help them in their distress? So let us do so. This is a short reminder in that regard. With that I conclude, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins, to accept our good deeds. And just as how He unites us here in this masjid, may He unite us in the beautiful gardens of Jannah. And may He bless us all to drink at the hawd, at the fountain, from the blessed hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'waya anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.